From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the first day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Mexico is cracking down on sanitary rules for U.S. meat imports. The Department of Labor is making it harder for farm employers to hire guest workers, and the Renewable Fuels Association says the number of E85 pumps is up. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll tell you just how much of that very, very expensive nitrogen farmers applied last fall and early this spring might still be available for the crop to use. If you're in the Eastern Corn Belt, you really won't want to know. The Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking the numbers in Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this in the nearby wheat contract. July contract at 37.25 higher, finished at 674.5. September wheat a settlement price at $7.25, up 37.25. In December at 723, settled 37 cents higher. July corn futures today at 445.75, up 9.5 cents. September at 455.75, a settlement 9.5 higher. In December contract, 469.25, a dime higher. March futures, $4.79, up 9.75. In the May corn, 486, up 9.5 cents. Soybeans, July futures, 12.18.5, up 34.5. August at 11.75.5, up 27. And September futures in the bean pit at $11.21, up 24.5. November contract, $10.86, a 23.5 cent gain on the day. And the January futures, $10.88.5, up 23.75. The March contract at 10.82, up 28.25. July bean meal at 390.80, up 8.30. July oil at 40.45, up 1.40 on the afternoon. June live cattle futures 80.52.5, down 80 cents. The August 17.5 lower at 81.65. August feeders at $1.17.5, down $1.57.5, and the June lean hog futures down $1.17.5 to settle at 62.75. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil futures at $68.50 a barrel are currently trading up $2.19. August up $2.20 at $69.27. Ethanol futures, June contract $1.77, 4 cents higher. Natural gas, July contract at $4.23.8, up 40.3. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.92.4, up 2.8. July heating oil or diesel fuel, 9.2 higher at $1.77. And propane futures at 78.3 cents, up 2 cents even at the hour. June gold futures at $978.60 an ounce. Settlement price down 20 cents. The Dow currently just about 228 points higher at 87.28. And the U.S. dollar is down 0.25 at 79.09 for the afternoon. The CRB index at this hour, 259.43, is up 6.38 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like this afternoon. In the north, should be cloudy, widespread showers and thunderstorms in central sections. A mix of clouds, a bit of sunshine, some scattered showers and thunderstorms. They'll develop during the afternoon. And in the south, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range from 72 near Lake Michigan to 90 in the far south. And then tonight, in the north and central sections, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the south, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 52 in northern Illinois to 66 in the far south. And the extended forecast says the northern third of the two-state region will pick up the most rainfall through tomorrow, with 1 to 2 inches amounts common and locally heavier amounts possible. Showers and thunderstorms will start to push southward tomorrow night. Central sections will receive locally heavy rains tomorrow night and only isolated scatters and showers and thunderstorms prior to tomorrow night. You're listening to WILL AM 580.
Services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Closing Mark Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the line with us today to take a look at what's been happening in a very, very volatile marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a mover and a shaker it was for a Monday. Was it all the outside markets, or are there other things afoot?
Boy, it was just a combination of everything. The outside markets did help. I mean, crude oil was strong. The metals somewhat firm. The Dow's on a roll again here. And probably the biggest indicator was the interest rate futures. If you go back to last summer, fall, winter, we saw people exit commodities and stocks and buy bonds as a safe haven. We're virtually almost 30-some points, 25 points off the highs in the bonds. So we've seen a massive exit out of the bonds and a lot of money now being reinvested in the equity market and commodity market in general. So the outside markets was a tremendous amount of help. The funds were estimated to be buyers of about 10,000 contracts of corn, 6,000 contracts of wheat, and over 5,000 to 6,000 contracts of beans on the day. So we've gone back to it's cool to be long or cool to trade commodities. That's the thing now, Todd.
Well, that's good for your business, I'm sure, and will be good for prices for a while. How long do you think it'll stay?
Well, that's a good question. We've had a tremendous run in here. My best estimate is June 3rd. One of the top guys that we follow here on the timing of the marketplace suggests June 3rd, and so I wouldn't be surprised that maybe a correction here tonight and tomorrow, then one more push on Wednesday, then we'll sort of go from there. But long term, though, it's just going to really hinge on Asia's appetite for the world beans, and it's going to depend on how much more money we see come into the marketplace.
Well, tell me more about China's appetite for soybeans here, because they have been buyers. There are some fears, I think, in Chicago that have been voiced that we'll simply run out of beans in the United States. Argentina has a short crop. They can't buy. I suppose they could try to buy through the pipeline, but that would be a really tough thing to do.
Well, we'll probably have to go higher to slow this wet appetite they have for at least U.S. beans. The last time we were in this situation was the 2005 rally. Basically, what it came to here in the U.S., if you needed meal, you pretty well had to line up somebody on the other side to bring beans in. The processors took downtime, backed away from the market. Then for the guys that needed the meal, you know, the processor said, well, as soon as we get beans, you know, they did a back-to-back transaction to hedge their risk, so they weren't hung out to dry. So I wouldn't be surprised if this demand continues to be that strong that we'll see that type of strategy come in place to sort of protect them. But the worst thing is to run this thing higher in through here from the standpoint we're going to lose a ton of livestock producers. We've already lost quite a few here this winter, but the livestock producer was hanging on tooth and nail. And our fears are a lot of them are going to throw in the towel here as we go into this summer if this market continues to go higher. And that is going to totally destroy our feed demand base here in the U.S.
Yeah, well, when you talk about livestock producers, are we talking about all livestock producers, cattle and hogs alike and other animals too, mostly in the United States, in Canada? Where do you think that'll happen?
Well, probably the one that brings home to heart or the ones probably on the ropes in our mind that is the most would be the hog producer. He took it on the chin here last year of higher grain values, higher meal values. Then here we're seeing the same thing again here. As the grain market starts to rally, the board is at some higher levels versus where the cash market is currently here. And so we're starting to see the hog producer work in red territory again. So the main concern with the guys we work with is the hog producer type.
Well, are you concerned about big ones?
Any size. We've got guys that's got 10 to 15 sows to guys that's got up to 2,500 sows. It's, you know, I don't know if you qualify that big or not.
Right.
But it's more the independent hog guy.
So these are still these are the margin producers still. They're not the big 20,000, 30,000, 100,000 sow runs at this point, at least not the ones you're working with, or maybe I could be wrong. But you're talking about those that are on the margin that are more likely to come in and out of the marketplace. But after, let's see, we did this in 98, we did this in 2002. And those folks generally did not come back after they went out of the marketplace. Are you thinking the same thing would happen this time around?
First of all, we don't work with, I'm not fortunate enough to have somebody that raises a 20,000 sow unit. So I do not know what those guys are
right.
thinking. Those guys are not to throw mud or anything, are probably hedged up. Or locked into contracts and have some bankings in some cases, not
right.
every case. But I'm talking to the guy here, Rural Route 3, Central Illinois, Indiana, who we work with on a much smaller scale. And some of these guys are so frustrated or hung out that the ones we visit with are about ready to just throw in the towel and call it quits for good unless something would happen down the road. So, yes, we're talking liquidation that and producers that won't come back into the marketplace if things do improve down the road.
And are there enough of those, do you think, that are in jeopardy that it could really have an impact on domestic usage of corn and meal?
That's a good question. Like I mentioned, the ones we're working with, you know, it's a large majority of them feeling that way. Now, whether they follow through or not, we'll see. But, yeah, we feel that it's not only going to have an impact on overall feed demand down the road, but, two, if we go through the liquidation process and liquidate the sow herd, it's going to show a tighter number situation as we go into 2010.
Well, that's certainly not good news for the livestock producer. It won't be particularly good news for the row crop farmer in the Midwest. But let's go back to what's at hand today, where we have an awful lot of green on the screen. Actually, everything in the corn and the bean pit is green, and the wheat as well. Is there a difference between old crop and new crop soybean for you? And do you have to be fearful for new crop soybean still?
We feel so. We feel the bull spread is going to continue to be the dominant play here as we go into the late part of the marketing season due to strong demand for old crop beans and producers being fairly well sold out of old beans. As far as the new crop beans go, we feel there's a lot more bean acres out there than what the USDA indicated on the March planting intentions report. The only other thing that we're starting to see now is if the weather pattern continues to remain wet, especially through Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, we could lose quite a few maybe double crop bean acres because if the producer has to go in there and mud out the wheat crop, we could be put in a situation where conditions could be less than ideal to put the double crop bean acres in. So that could be supportive for the new crop beans as we go down the road. But it's a demand-driven market on the old crop beans, and that's probably going to continue here until we see the Asian business slow down.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at the day's agricultural news. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. And if you can't listen to us on the radio, how about the phone? 217-333-3434. We update at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, Mexican authorities are tightening enforcement of sanitary rules for U.S. meat imports after an internal audit showed inspections at the border were lax in some places. Mexican authorities say they have made personnel changes after complaints of corruption and a lack of inspection oversight, including failure to check all U.S. meat imports. The U.S. Department of Labor has made it harder for farm employers to hire guest workers, suspending a last-minute Bush administration rule that took effect in January. The rule change affects farm workers admitted to the U.S. with H-2A visas. The suspension of the Bush administration rule change takes effect June 29th and will last for 9 months. Farm worker justice and advocacy group based in Washington, D.C., says the change will directly affect roughly 70,000 H-2A workers and will have ripple effects on U.S. farm workers. Democratic lawmakers and farm worker organizations argued that the Bush rule led to lower wages for U.S. and immigrant farm workers and made it easier to hire guest workers without first considering U.S. workers. The Renewable Fuels Association says E85 pumps are on the rise. As of Friday, May 29th, 86 new E85 pumps have gone into operation since the beginning of this year. In 2009, the E85 expansion has occurred in 18 states, including Illinois. California, Florida, Georgia, and Illinois are leading the expansion, accounting for 47 of the new pumps. Officials at farm equipment maker Deere & Company today say that Samuel Allen will succeed Robert Lane as chief executive on August 1st, becoming the company's ninth CEO in 172 years. Allen, a 34-year veteran of the Moline, Illinois-based company, has been president of the Worldwide Construction and Forestry Division since 2005. And has been responsible for the global operations of the Deere Power Systems Group since 2003. And Canada's economy shrank in the first quarter at the fastest pace since 1991, pushing the country into its sharpest two-quarter downturn on record. Real gross domestic product contracted 5.4% annualized in the first quarter of this year. Consumer spending also continued to decline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. If you haven't been to our website, please visit. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, other ag programming. You can download directly to your computer or have it downloaded automatically if you want. And sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Now up next, you know the long, late, wet start to the growing season throughout the state of Illinois is bad news for nitrogen. I'll have more on the reasons corn farmers will need to watch their fields closely for N deficiencies in just a moment. There are two situations that exist in Illinois related to nitrogen on corn fields. Unfortunately, the answer to both is the same. The first is the question of how much of the N applied before April 30th is left for the corn crop to use. The second is a case where there wasn't any N applied and the farmer is wondering how much to use. Well, the answers are the same, says University of Illinois Extension Soil Fertility Specialist Bob N. Fernandez.
Well, one of the important things you remember, though, is in terms of nitrogen, that we have lost some yield potential already. And as we have lost yield potential, that crop will need less nitrogen than you would expect for a full season crop. And so typically we say to start reducing the rates about 20 pounds or so of nitrogen per acre for every week that you are delaying planting, all the way to 80 pounds. So basically, a lot of fields are getting to that point right now that you can reduce rates because of the loss of yield potential.
80 pounds is the recommended rate for a crop planted 4 weeks after the optimal planting date. That's come and gone by at least 4 weeks from north to south in Illinois. And because most of the crop is going in at least 4 weeks after the optimal yield planting date and it's been wet, the nitrogen that had been applied pretty much isn't there anymore, says Fernandez.
What I would recommend is this year is to try to do some way of telling how much nitrogen the crop has in season. You can do that. One of the easiest way to do that is by having test strips in which you apply additional nitrogen, 10 to 20% more nitrogen than you would expect that crop will need, just to make sure that you have sufficient nitrogen, and then look at the color differences. And then if you see that the rest of the field is looking yellower than those strips, then apply nitrogen. And if you have a spot meter, you can do basically a testing of the strips versus the rest of the field and do a relative reading between those two and figure out how much nitrogen you will need to apply.
Fernandez prefers side dressing anhydrous ammonia to all other forms of application and warns farmers not to get in a hurry to follow up planting with the nitrogen tanks. The crop can wait, he says, for soil conditions to improve. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Usually at this time, we talk to the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. We're going to delay that for just a few minutes and swap them out with the weather folks because the boys up at Chesapeake Energy weren't available today. They have an office meeting. So we'll bring you the weather forecast from our own meteorologist, Ed Kieser, instead. He says tonight in the north and central section should be mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers, some thunderstorms in the south, partly cloudy. Lows this evening, says Ed, from 52 in northern Illinois to 66 in the far southern part of the state. Tomorrow in the north, cloudy, periods of rain, some thunderstorms. In central and southern sections, a mix of clouds and sunshine, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, most numerous during the afternoon. Highs will range tomorrow from 65 in northern Illinois to around 90 in the deep south. Now, the extended forecast. The northern third of the two-state will pick up the most rainfall through tomorrow, says Ed, with 1 to 2 inch amounts common and locally heavier amounts possible. Showers and thunderstorms will start to push southward tomorrow night, he says. Central sections will receive locally heavy rainfall tomorrow night with only an isolated to scattered shower and thunderstorm prior to tomorrow evening. And then the southern areas will stay dry until showers and thunderstorms arrive tomorrow evening later. Scattered showers will linger in central sections on Wednesday, with widespread showers likely in the south, and it'll turn cooler on Wednesday. Then dry and cool weather is expected Thursday and Friday of this week. Back in a moment when we'll talk with the folks at the Andersons about the cash grain market. They're located right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Grape Popsicle Day. The invention of the popsicle goes to Frank Epperson, who in 1905 mixed some soda, water powder, and water together and left the mixture on the back porch overnight with the stirring stick still in it. That night, the temperature dropped to a record low that froze the mixture solid. 18 years later, in 1923, the Epsicle hit the market in 7 fruit flavors. The name was later changed to the Popsicle. In the first 4 years, Epperson sold more than 60 million ice pops. On this day in agricultural history in 1907, Rachel Louise Carson was born. An American biologist, Carson wrote Silent Spring. The book was concerned with the dangers of environmental pollution, especially DDT. In 1930, Richard G. Drew of St. Paul, Minnesota, patented transparent cellophane adhesive tape. He worked out a deal with 3M to market the tape under the trademark Scotch. In 1933, the first automatic soda fountain dispenser was introduced by Coca-Cola. And in 1941, the U.S. Federal Register published the definition of enriched flour, giving specifications for required amounts it must contain of vitamin B, niacin, and iron. By the way, the effective date of riboflavin as a required ingredient of enriched flour is postponed until April 20th of 1943 because the available supply was inadequate. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. The folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County are on the line with us today. Greg Johnson is there. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm doing good.
I suspect that farmers in this area are looking out wistfully at some of the corn crop that is in the ground and growing and seeing that they can row it and it's up. And they wouldn't mind, I suppose, a little rain, but they've got an awful lot of beans yet to put in, I would think, too.
Yeah, I think we're breathing a sigh of relief right here in central Illinois. Now, you don't have to go too far south, and they're still hoping to get in the field. It's still, you know, they've just gotten more rain than what we have, and not all the corn's in the ground. And as you proceed further south, I think when the numbers come out at 3 o'clock, we'll see by district that a lot of the southern third of Illinois has not been planted yet as far as corn is concerned.
Indeed, that probably will be the case, and they were well behind even last week. Only a third of southern Illinois, I think about the same of Indiana, and the southern portions were planted. And those numbers will be ones we can and should watch. Do you think that there will be much of a switch at this point to soybeans in the southern areas?
I do, personally. I mean, if we were 41% planted, I think, what was that number?
It was 36 in southern Illinois,
62,
I think, 60,
yeah, 62 statewide, and so now maybe we're 80% planted statewide. And let's say we get another 5% planted this week. That still leaves 15% of the state not planted to corn. We plant 13 million acres, so that's about 2 million acres of corn that has to be planted yet. Now, some of that, the anhydrous has already been put on, and farmers have crop insurance, so maybe they'll, you know, plant it anyway and collect on the crop insurance. So some of those acres still will get planted to corn, but you could still see 1 to 1.5 million acres of corn just from Illinois alone not planted, and that some of those could be switched over to beans. Some of those could just lie idle, and as farmers take the prevented planting option on the crop insurance. So
you want to go ahead and take a stab at total numbers then for the nation on how many not planted?
Well, you know, I think Illinois is probably the worst state. I think North Dakota has a fair amount of corn left to be planted, Indiana to some extent. But other than that, I think most of the areas are getting planted. So I would say you could see somewhere in that 2 million acre range. It wouldn't surprise me a bit to see 2 million acres shift out of corn into other commodities or just lay idle.
You know, we put an extra dime on the corn crop today. If we're at 2 million, how much more upside potential is there?
Based on just the crop alone, maybe only another 15 or 20 cents. But now you throw into the fact that, or into the mix, the dollar is very weak. Traders are a little nervous about all this deficit spending from the government. Inflation is being talked about, interest rates going higher. Traders tend to put their money in commodities, and we've seen gold and silver and oil rally, and to some extent corn, beans, and wheat. So if we see a repeat of speculators and investment traders putting money in commodities, we saw what happened last year, that prices can go higher than what anybody would expect based on fundamentals.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 444 for old crop, 441 for new crop. Cash beans, 1233. New crop, 1056. And new crop wheat, 604.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758.